This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So this, Paul, you know, is like some kind of epiphany on steroids.
In some cases, yeah. I think very often what you bring to a paranormal event or experience very much determines how you experience that experience, so to speak. You know, in other words, one example, September 16th, 2016, I'm sitting up in this field where I was playing the music several years later, when I, before we saw the UFO, and I was there. It was kind of cold. I was expecting strange lights because the previous May we'd been there and seen a lot of strange lights, and I had cameras set up in the back of my truck for that and all this business. And you think after all these decades of doing this, I would realize these things never happen the way you expect them to. So why would, you know? But anyway, all of a sudden off to my right, it was pretty late. It wasn't that late. It was after 11. It was very dark, but it was a brilliant moonlit night. You could see this figure moving up about 200 feet away, moving up with huge legs and brown fur, you know, moving up and down. I remember the knees and the legs, and the head was bowed as if looking for something in the tall grass. I felt privileged. I felt honored. It was almost a holy experience. Now, before I even enter a field or anything like that, I always say a little prayer, and I ask permission to enter with respect and love. And maybe that's why, at least not since the poltergeist days and the exorcism stuff, you know, for many years, nothing really bad has come into my paranormal experiences. I've had a lot of them, you know, and many of which I've never talked about. But a little girl, probably 100 yards from that very spot, about a year later, had an experience that was terrifying to her. A similar creature, at least by the description that her parents gave us. And she was completely terrified and traumatized. And to this day, she won't talk to us. We have neighborhood meetings in this area where, you know, 30 to 35 people will show up, and every single one of them has had Bigfoot experiences and strange lights in the sky. We even interviewed one family of three generations who had all were talking about stuff from way back, stuff that had happened to them and their family, but particularly regarding Bigfoot and lights. So this little girl has yet to talk to us. She's still, maybe it's these, you know, weird guys from New England with beards. I don't know. But I hope at least by the time she grows up, she'll talk to us, because I'd like to hear the story. But the point is that maybe she expected something negative and got something negative out of it. I never expect anything negative unless I know it's a parasite. And even then, you express compassion to them and some interesting things happen. So anyway, maybe it's what you bring to it. I don't know.
Okay, this is really interesting. We've hit on like the idea of children, young people, a number of times here. And it seems to me that young people do have these really bizarre experiences, and that we should pay more attention to them, like more serious attention, because I don't think that in all of these cases, it's just children's wild imaginations. I worked with a woman when I was doing landscaping who swears that when she was a young child, and this goes back to the thing with trees and the field, she would go out into a field where there was this tree. And she swears that she could float around it and fly around this tree and come back down. And she used to play there. And she confided in me this because I had mentioned that I was interested in UFOs. And she felt that it was safe to talk to me about it. So, you know, why young people? Why does it go away when we grow up?
I think that's a beautiful story, first of all. Well, I think that it's educated out of us. And one of the benefits of being a father-son team is that people tend to think you're a good parent. I hope I am. You know? But, you know, we've got letters, you know, emails from all over the world. You know, I wish I had anything in common with my son, you know, and you're lucky, you know, and I am. Well, we've done shows, not lately, but from the father-son perspective. For example, always listen to your children. There have been many cases where, you know, the parents, things are happening, they're trying to hide it from the kids. I said, they know. Don't try to hide it from your children, you know. And it has always been a positive thing when the whole family gets together and they say what they've experienced, and very often they haven't talked to each other about it. Especially in parasite cases, you got to bring people together, because the positive energy will displace the negative energy and will cut off the food supply for the parasite. We call it the Peter Pan theory. You know, think happy thoughts. It really works, you know?
Yeah. I think there's something to it. There's
yeah.
Yeah. I was going to, how do you know? And okay. And now, Anna, you'll have to forgive me here. I'm going to sort of switch to my more, was it left brain logical rash? How do you know that these aren't actually genuine personality disorder problems with people though?
Well, that comes up in the next book too, because, for example, you know, at Wadham's Hall Seminary, that doesn't sound like a Catholic seminary, but it was, Augsburg, New York, 1973 and 74. The academic dean there, who was a great priest, he's still alive, but he had a degree, a master's in psychology. He set up special courses for me, in abnormal psychology, precisely to be able to tell who was having paranormal experiences and who was bonkers. But it turned out it's not that simple. In the psychiatric ward there, depending on, you know, when I was there and who I was talking to, a lot of people had been diagnosed with schizophrenia, and there were a lot more inpatients than there are today. But, you know, you'd look into the eyes of these people, some of them, and there would be the most knowing look, and they were literally living, I was convinced, in real worlds, as opposed to some sort of chemical imbalance in the brain. Now, in ensuing years, I spoke to groups of psychiatrists on this twice, and I would mention this in the public forum, and, you know, the steam would come out of the ears, and their eyes would turn red, you know, because this goes against what they're talking about. But very often, they'd come up, some of them anyway, at the end and say, you know, I've often suspected that that's the case. These people are really experiencing actual worlds, but if I said that, I'd lose my job. So there's a lot of politics in science and in medicine, and a lot of people who feel they can't give the impressions of what they, I could, because I wasn't a doctor. I was, you know, just, and, you know, I always approach this and I always make it clear. I'm not a scientist. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a licensed counselor, but I am a journalist, because when they threw me out of the seminary, the only other thing I could do was write. And I wormed my way into journalism, and it worked somehow. So I've been an editor at a Metro Daily paper and everything else. So I've got a lot of experience at it. So presumably I'm at least a trained observer. Even if I'm not competent to judge the entire nature of what's happening in a medical situation or whatever. So I think children and people who are supposedly crazy are, in many cases,
very... Well, they have some things in common, don't they, really, when you think about it?
Fairness.
You know, the children's brains are just early development. They're certainly going through a lot of changes and perhaps open to different sorts of stimuli, and all of the neurons in there are firing in different ways. And so are people who have personality disorders. They're just, you know, maybe it's like, I don't know if you've ever seen that movie K-Pax, but maybe there's some kind of way that they do see into something else or see other things. Like some people see auras and other people don't, you know?
Sure. Well, the little boy in that case with the thing coming out of the tree, Ashwar, he has now grown. He's now, I believe he's 13, and he's a wonderful young man. And because his family knows all about this, they have not educated him out of it. They haven't given him any, you know, stimulus response, reason to stop. And he has developed, I think, a very balanced approach, and he's still sort of in touch with other worlds in a multiversal sense. And he's a great young man. I think that's an example of what can happen when these things are not forcibly educated out of us. Ben, too. Obviously, he grew up with the likes of me, and, you know, he grew up listening to my lectures. He and his brother would come and sell books. And since he could talk, he would talk about what, to me, amounted to parallel lives, different battles he was in or different experiences he had. A little kid, like 1 year old, maybe a little older, you know, and it was natural for him, totally natural.
Well, that's some pretty amazing stuff. I mean, you know, some of us are lucky in life to have, you know, a few or even one significant paranormal experience. And it sounds like you've had several, and that you and your son have shared some of them. And I think that's absolutely fantastic that you have the kind of relationship where you can do that and experience some of those things together, because those kinds of experiences they've got to act as glue to bond you guys together so much.
Let's break it here, guys. We'll talk more about the relationship father and son with Gene Randall and Paul. You're in
the Paracast.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug-out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Dahebo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus doesn't grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, Dahebo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. Dahebo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at shopsupertea.com or call 818-984-6100. That's shopsupertea.com or call 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
This is George Dory from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNLife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Getting back with Paul Eno, mentioning the father and son discussion, and then we'll get back to what Randall says. My son and I, as our listeners know, his name is Grayson. When he was going to high school, when he went off to college, of course, he did his own thing. We wrote a book together, a sci-fi book, and then a second one. And we made public appearances and we completed each other's sentences. Really.
Yeah.
Really close relationship. And I kind of sort of think here that if the child is developing something, if the parent tries to straighten them out, or the school teacher tries to straighten them out, whatever abilities they may have, they lose.
I think you're right. Yeah. This is the paradox. The multiverse is full of paradoxes. And one of them is, you know, we have to live where we live and fulfill our responsibilities and get along. But at the same time, we have to be honest to our own consciousness. We have to be faithful to that and realize that, you know, we're a multifaceted beings, and we're all kind of really united, and we certainly have ourselves. One of the problems, of course, with this in the psychiatric hospitals that I saw anyway, were that, you know, people, if they attempted to be faithful to their own awareness, were diagnosed with this or that psychosis, particularly schizophrenia, and were placed on a bunch of, especially today, placed on a bunch of antipsychotic drugs, which does no good and is often exploited, I think, by parasites sometimes. So it's a matter of maybe society is developing more awareness as compared to what it used to, and maybe they'll lighten up on that a little bit, and maybe people will be more able to be their full selves than have been in the past. I don't know. I think just as I think we're making some strides, we realize that we're really not. It's just the different forms of the same baloney in society. And as I don't know, but be that as it may, I think that it's a dilemma for all of us, you know.
Well, that's true. I mean, I can't help but think that, you know, we're over-medicated and that, you know, since when in the history of children have they never been hyperactive to begin with, you know, or not completely paying attention to everything at every moment that they should? It's a natural part of their development, it seems to me. And that, you know, to trying to medicate them out of that, I don't know, it just doesn't sound right, but I'm not a medical professional. So, you know, who am I to? And I mean, I'm sure there's some cases where it's probably, you know, the use of certain medications is beneficial and so on, and that people really need them in order to maintain a balanced life. But I don't know. I just, it doesn't sit with me when people just prescribe some kind of medication for every little problem.
Yeah, that's not right either. Of course, you know, you have to realize that everything essentially, you know, fortunately or unfortunately, comes down to bucks, whether it be science, medicine, or whatever. And, you know, curing diseases does not make as much money as treating the symptoms, though. So, unfortunately, we're all kind of victims of that, and it's one of the, I guess, necessary evils if you're going to have a society like this. So, but again, I think it's well put, Randall, that you know, people are over-medicated and this sort of thing. There are more natural methods, and I think the most natural method of all is for the love between a parent and a child, no matter what ages they are. As Gene was saying, you know, it you complete each other's sentences. And I think that goes a lot deeper than just verbal communication. You know, I think you just complete each other, period, very often. I think and that hopefully will move on to a spouse at some point. But it starts with mother and child or father and child or whatever.
Mine isn't speaking to me right now. I love him and miss him very much if he ever listens to any of this. But and I hope someday we work it out. But it's right now we're just taking a break.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's best to keep it simple. We did one show. We decided it was one of our early shows on our current station, WON in Northern Rhode Island, that we would do a show on teen suicide. Because there have been a lot of questions that had come in, and we found them very disconcerting. Like, if this multiverse thing is true, can I just, you know, pop myself off and come up in a better world? That's really not how it works, and we figured we'd better do a show on it. So Ben spoke from the viewpoint of a teenager, which he was at the time. Yeah, he went to a private school, and, you know, we sacrificed to send him there. But there were still issues with, you know, teens thinking about suicide, you know. From the parents' point of view, I expressed that and said, you know, listen to your kids. They probably are smarter than you are, you know, and because this stuff hasn't been educated out of them, et cetera, et cetera. Well, we did that show, and it was one of the most listened to shows in the whole time we've been on the air. And it was back in 2009. And what one of the local listeners got in touch with us and said she had been in her car listening to the show on the way back from the supermarket. And her daughter, to whom she had not spoken in 3 days, was listening at home. And they both were kind of, you know, touched by what we said somehow. The mother went into the house and they flew into each other's arms. And they forgot all their difficult.
That's such an awesome story.
I said, you know, maybe we had a pretty good day that day. You know,
Hopefully,
even if you touch somebody, anybody, and do some good, it's good. So, you know, the father-son thing can be very, very helpful, I think, to many, and then most of all to ourselves.
Now, one of the things I want to mention here, of course, we're medicating our children with antidepressants, anti-anxiety medicine. If you look at the contraindications, as doctors call it, the possible side effects, one of the biggest ones is the potential danger of suicide. So you wonder, teens who commit suicide, how many of them were on one of these drugs? And the parents didn't pay attention, maybe.
Quite a few, I dare say. Well, the whole point of the suicide background to the thing was that I was a victim of it in a way, because my father committed suicide and I was there. It's obviously very difficult to talk about, but I talk about it in the book.
Yeah, that's heavy.
And I was 7 years old. And what was I supposed to do? So obviously a defining moment in my life. But then I kind of have considered that from a paranormal point of view. And I think that if... so-called death is we call it a translation. It's a very ancient theological term. We don't say death, we say someone translated. But translated to what? I think if you commit an act like suicide, you know, that is not the result of complete derangement of some kind, it can be a very selfish act and an act of great arrogance in a way, if you really think about it. And you could, and I have met people who have committed suicides who are in worlds of utter aloneness. It's like, you know, be careful what you wish for. It's an act of utter aloneness, and they end up in worlds of utter aloneness. And it can be helped. It can be fixed. But this is the time when there's some sort of help, I suppose, is required, and at least some compassion and that sort of thing. And I've had a number of cases in which I believe I was in touch with people who were contemplating suicide wherever or whenever they were. And I like to think that maybe I helped encourage them not to do it.
Yeah. I think a lot of probably young people, and especially in their teens, again, you know, their hormones are raging and their brain is changing, and they think quite differently and have different reactions to the world. And they're trying to literally find their way through that. And I think it's probably fairly common for them to contemplate it.
Sorry, we're right in the middle of the break.
All right.
Here's how it goes. We didn't mean to interrupt Randall, but we have to. That's how the business works. Randall, Gene, and Paul, you're in.
The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Fellow Patriots, my name is Todd Savage, founder of BlackRifleRealEstate.com. Like you, I was a prisoner of the alt-left sanctuary state until one day I chose to lead my family to freedom. Today we live on a sustainable 20-acre homestead where we shoot, hunt, garden, and homeschool our children without the tyranny of the nanny state looking over us. If you're ready to flee the city to the freedom of Idaho or Montana, our Black Rifle Real Estate team is here to help. Go to BlackRifleRealEstate.com. That's BlackRifleRealEstate.com.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
Another strong earthquake has hit California, a magnitude 7.1. Kern County Supervisor Mick Gleason says they're getting all the help they can handle.
I've talked with the governor. I've talked with the White House. I've talked with both states, both federal senators, or Kamala Harris and Dianne Feinstein. Everybody's pitching in, helping. We have declared an emergency in the city of Ridgecrest. We're declaring an emergency in the county of Kern.
Seismologist Lucy Jones says the shaking is likely to continue.
The last time we've had earthquakes of this size, we were seeing significant aftershocks for more than a year.
The town of Ridgecrest was near the epicenter. Mayor Peggy Breeden.
Many of them have experienced something that is very traumatic, somewhat unknown to most of them. I know that it is a difficult situation, but they're fearful to be in their homes.
This is USA Radio News.
Balance of Nature, changing the world one life at a time.
You guys have a great product, and I tell my friends about it, and I was actually talking to a guy the other day who I just met, and he takes them. So you put out a great product, and I want to thank you and your organization.
I just started using it, and my family's already seen the difference. And I have health issues. I have fibromyalgia, asthma, but all of a sudden everything's clearing up, and I'm feeling better, and my skin's better. My brother said I look 10 years younger already.
Wow. Okay.
My vision is clear. I already see the difference. People are seeing the difference, and my doctor's seeing the difference.
Experience the Balance of Nature difference for yourself. For a limited time, you can receive a 30% discount and free shipping on your first preferred order of Balance of Nature. Call 800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com and use discount code USA.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry My Pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Randall, as you know, the clock on the wall says stop, and we stop. It's all computerized. We are all computerized. Seriously, continue.
I don't know if anyone would be interested, but and I don't share this that often, but I know that I did contemplate suicide when I was in my early 20s quite seriously. And it's really interesting what you say about the point about it being a selfish thing, because in my case, I was working on the railway out in British Columbia in Glacier National Park in the middle of a beautiful national forest. And my thinking was, you know, that what is really wrong with the world is that, well, there's too many people, and the world would probably be a better place if there were less of them. And I thought that if nobody was really going to miss me, it would be, you know, I would be one less person contributing my garbage pile to the world. And that was my reasoning. It wasn't out of selfishness. It was about giving myself for the world. And it was at that moment that I had what was then what you could call a complete religious type of experience, some sort of Jungian archetypal experience. I mean, literally the forest went silent and everything started to glow and I heard a voice in the forest. I mean, I've never told anybody this on air before, but it saved me. And what saved me was when I asked this voice, you know, I talked and I said, well, I'll be seeing you soon if you're God or whatever it was. And I said, well, you don't have to do that. And I said, why not? And it said, because you're worth more alive. And the truth of that just went right through me. And I don't know if that can help anyone else out there, but that's what saved me.
I think it's a very wonderful and important point. You know, even if something seems to be a magnanimous act of self immolation, you know, and I have some military experience, and in the combat situation, that same thing arises, strangely enough, you know, to save your friends. I don't like to talk much about that, but it's
these kinds of experiences that seem to bring about them. It seems to be the acts of sacrifice that bring about these experiences,
yeah,
right?
Exactly. I think so. You know, these are the moments at which we can learn the most if we approach it in the right way, I guess. But they're all very visceral. You don't think about it. You just experience it sometimes, you know. So, but I think that's really there. It's funny. I can just picture you out there working on the dear old, what must have been the Canadian Pacific or the Canadian National.
Yeah. CP Rail right at the middle of Glacier National Park.
Oh, just beautiful.
Yeah. And it was, that was one of my paranormal experiences. So, but let's hear more about yours. And it's really cool to be able to share them with, and for some reason I felt like I could share that with you. Well, I don't know why. Yeah. You just brought that out in me today. So, you know, thanks for helping with that anyway, but
thank you. So
what are some of your more amazing experiences that have really sort of enlightened you?
All right. Well, there was one. I'm thinking of back in the my seminary days. It was something that I suppose you would call there's a section in the book about, you know, what ghosts have to say about God. Okay, and that's a little simplistic, but it's pretty you know, interesting from the viewpoint of people think that you die and you know are in some spiritual state and you go to heaven or somewhere else or hell, and it's as simple as that. Now I've listened to a bunch of mediums making public presentations, and it's really bizarre, some of the things. Oh, she's cooking up a storm and this, you know, and the woman next to me said, you have to cook and have, you know, I mean, it's a very sort of almost cartoonish view of heaven. One of the more sobering ones was a situation in 2007. And I remember I got an email from a man, and we weren't on the air yet, but, you know, people would, you know, just read some of the books and get in touch. From Wisconsin, and I'd been on somebody else's radio show the night before. He said, if I can I have the quote right here. 28 years ago, my friend killed himself. On the day of his funeral, he came to me in a dream and told me that he was going to have to spend a long time in purgatory because God was mad at him. He and I were not Catholic. This really shook me up. So I called a minister I knew and told him what happened. He said that strangely, a woman had just called him with the same story about the same person. I am now a Catholic. Remember that the only truth is Christ Jesus, unquote. All right. I mean, this really struck me because in 1970, my first approach to my first case was maybe these earthbound spirits are souls in purgatory. So I was sort of Catholicizing it, you know.
Right,
so
already
in the seminar. You know, the Warrens, actually, that's how I got to know them. I wrote something about that, and a few years later, Lorraine Warren thought that was a cool idea, and that's how I got to know them. But when I first got to this first case, which was in a bunch of overgrown woods, it wasn't a house or anything, it had been unoccupied for many, many years, you'd hear people talking, dogs barking, farm implements banging together, cows mooing. As if it was a normal day. I mean, these people didn't seem like spirits at all. They didn't seem that they were dead at all, never mind in purgatory. So that was the genesis of a lot of my goofy ideas, was right then and there in the very first case.
Interesting. Sorry, I tend to think or comment out loud sometimes when I shouldn't. That's really cool.
Yeah. And then there was another case, and this is one of the ones where I did this thing. It was November 76, and I met a quote-unquote ghost who was convinced that God hated him, okay? But there was a lot more to it than that. I was 23 at the time. I had joined the Eastern Orthodox Church, as I mentioned earlier, and to the everlasting shock of my Catholic and Protestant relatives, including the Warrens. But in the fall of 75, I moved right into the graduate studies at that St. Vladimir Seminary, as I mentioned. And there was a an interesting experience that occurred during my final year there. Now, on weekends, a lot of the seminary, you know, we'd kind of fan out over the New York area to help out in parishes and that kind of thing. And there was one Sunday that a little Russian lady came trotting over to me, one of the Russian Orthodox churches, and she said, "Oh, that nice young man said you know about ghosts." I said, "Oh, my God." I was on thin ice as it was, and I could have killed my friend. And he was over there smiling.
Uh-huh.
So, this turned out to be an older couple from Yonkers, New York. And she had the good old Russian name of Luba, and her husband's name was Jack. And they were empty nesters, and were having a lot of funny sounds in their attic. So I said, "All right, I'll come over." So I ended up spending the better part of three long evenings in the attic, getting into my meditative state, as I described a little bit earlier. And you just, I'm not trying to, you know, be a medium here or anything, and just wait to see what comes along. If I sniff a parasite within a mile, I'm out of there. But very often there'll be presences and then just people passing by in parallel worlds, and that's how I interpreted it. And that's essentially pretty much what I did. Because the guy, Jack, was convinced that it was the guy who committed suicide in the house like 8 years before or out in the garage or somewhere. And, I said, it's not about dead people, because I couldn't really explain. I didn't really know myself at that point. This is only the mid-70s. So I was kind of taking it a step at a time. So it was the second night of this kind of vigil I was keeping in the attic there, and I was about to give up. And it was a little after 8 p.m., and all at once, there was this big electrical tingle that just flooded over me. And that happens to me a lot in situations where there's the presence of
You get that, too. I've been, like, wondering for, like, about the last 3 or 4 years, what the hell is it? Is it just because I'm getting older, or am I getting scanned by some...
I was 23, so it wasn't age.
Yeah, weird. Okay.
Yeah, at least to me, it seems to be the electromagnetic presence of a world boundary. Because if you start taking pictures at that point, you get a lot of orbs, which I think some of them at least are living things that feed around world boundaries. And but that's me.
Final segment with Randall, Paul, and Gene. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
As you know, neighbors, web hosting can be pretty cheap, but not all hosting is the same. DreamHost wins best of awards year after year. You get unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, and even the low-cost plans put your sites on high-performance SSDs. Want to know more about what DreamHost has to offer? Go to technightowl.com/host. Once again, that's technightowl.com/host.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at rockoids.com. That's rockoids, rockoids.com.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNlife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNlife.com.
By now you know that wireless technology like cell phones do in fact pose dangers to the health and privacy of everyone. Blockit Pocket's wide range of products are unmatched in providing the protection you deserve. No scare tactics, just common sense. BlockitPocket.com offers quality American-made options to alleviate and eliminate these invisible dangers. Learn more at BlockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. BlockitPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with Reputation Defender. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with Reputation Defender. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771. For your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with Reputation Defender. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live underground gopher. You need Survivalist Camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug out house that's well equipped and custom built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement? You bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
This is Jacques Vallée, and you're listening to the podcast, The Gold Standard of Paranormal Radio.
You know, this is such fascinating discussion. I interrupted you, Paul. Please continue.
Okay. Essentially, push came to shove. I seemed to be in contact with a man who seemed a lot more frightened of me than I did of him. I couldn't really see him, although the spatial relationships in these experiences are very interesting. Sometimes they'll be up by the ceiling, sometimes beyond the ceiling. If it's an attic, they'll be kind of like outside, and they'll see me in different places. It's very strange. This man was very frightened, and he thought I was a ghost. And I assured him I was not. He was in a stone church in Virginia, so he said. And he saw this mist out of which my voice was coming. All right. And I said, I'm in Yonkers, New York. I still hadn't quite figured out, you know, how could this be? What am I really talking to and how is this working? And they said his name was Bob. Make a long story short, he essentially had said he had remembered being in an airplane that was in trouble. Now, here with the classic ghost thing, like, okay, maybe it was in a plane crash. He doesn't know what happened. Unfinished business or some other stuff. But I felt there was more to it. What was he doing in a stone church? And he said he'd been, I assured him I was just somebody in New York. I was not a ghost. I wasn't dead. He said he'd been living off food because he couldn't get out of the building. He'd been living off food in the parish basement, the church basement, where there was some kind of hall and kitchen. I mean, what was a ghost have to eat for? You know, I mean, what was this about? But as we spoke, his memory changed. We did two nights of this. And as we spoke, he began to forget about this airplane problem. And as a matter of fact, I looked, there had been no crashes of any small planes or even large planes in that area for many years. And he began to assume the identity almost of someone who belonged where he was. Suddenly knew a few things about me that he hadn't known. I hadn't mentioned that I was a seminarian. And he said, well, you seemed a little bit confused for a seminarian. I said, well, confused. So by the end of the conversation, after the second night, I heard a huge wooden door open. And apparently the choir had arrived for choir practice. And Bob turned out to be the rector of this Episcopal church. And he kind of like forgot about me and went off. And we, well, I had never even imagined things like this before, you know?
Wow.
And by the late 70s, I was kind of getting used to it. But it was each one of these is very different. But I can see where an ordinary as some kind of a medium, and this actually happened in the state hospital. The medium was not a psych patient, but it was a state hospital. You can have medical patients as well. The guy is, here. He's waiting for his wife to die. He's going to take her home. That's the standard spiritualist dead people thing of, all our loved ones would be waiting for us. I mean, maybe that's true. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. But in this case, this guy was nothing like dead. He was translating, as we would say, from one life to another. It was already living in a parallel reality where he already was this Bob or Pastor Bob or Reverend Bob or Rector Bob or whatever. You know, so I mean, it's just like it was a real learning experience. And if I was interpreting it correctly, it was quite the experience.
It sure does make you think, that's for sure. I mean, about the nature of reality,
exactly.
Personality, consciousness, who we are, what is the universe in the first place? And I really find it interesting where you use the word translation because it fits a lot with what some of, the direction of my thinking has been where what we're in is perhaps some kind of grand simulation and that we're all sort of data points and that if we consist of some sort of data points, then it's not like, when we die and we could be resurrected, but we wouldn't be our same selves. We'd be copies. And so the whole idea of translating instead of some sort of continuity seems to make a lot more sense to me. You can see how, say, transitioning from one, say, film strip plate image to the next takes several steps, and it's all about data and points and changing that way. And yeah. I can see how it could all be possible if this is really all run by some grand, for lack of a better term, supercomputer somehow. All of this stuff would be possible.
Well, you're talking about the holographic theory,
Yeah.
I think the other side of the coin from the multiverse theory, I think it's six of one half dozen of the other, but the interesting thing with the holographic theory is who's doing the projecting, who or what,
Right. Well, I mean, we could still have multiverses in it, there could be, you could think of it as like, say, if you're familiar with the Windows machine or most modern computers have a file system and then they have folders. And then, You could have each folder, you have universe one, universe two, universe three, and sometimes things get cut and paste back and forth between them, or they get translated, moved from one to the other in some way.
Exactly. It's like using Photoshop, You see the JPEGs, all you see are the JPEGs, and the TIFFs maybe are in there, but you don't see them unless you have the setting. So it's a very good analogy, actually.
Yeah, I mean, it would explain a lot. But then again, this is my sort of rational side of my brain going, I believe this stuff happens. Yeah, I mean, we've gone way out there today on the show.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, the truth is that people have these experiences, and they can't be written off so simply as just somebody's malfunctioning nervous system.
Very true.
There's something else going on, and I think that the real mystery in life is trying to find that out.
Yes, I agree. Yeah, it's probably the greatest adventure, and as Ben and I always say, it's the first day of school.
So what are you guys up to next, then? Have you got some talks coming up?
Is
there anything? You better tell us about those before the show is over today.
People can find out behindtheparanormal.com. There's a page with public events on it, and there's all kinds of stuff lined up starting in July all the way through next April. The biggest ones are, and probably our favorite event of the year, is the Exeter UFO Festival run by the Kiwanis Club in Exeter, New Hampshire, for children's charities. And we've been going there since it started, and we do a live broadcast from there on a Sunday in our 12 to 1 slot, and with the panel of the speakers, and it should be a lot of fun. Then in October, Columbus Day weekend in the U.S., it's going to be the Greater New England UFO Conference at Leominster, Mass. And I've been told I'm the MC this year in honor of 50 years in paranormal service, if you will.
You've just been informed, have you?
Yeah. So just check out the website, and all our stuff is in there, and a lot of talks here and there. And then the new book is just by me, which gave me a chance to dedicate it to Ben, and it's coming out from Schiffer at the end of August of 2019 here, and it's Dancing Past the Graveyard, Poltergeists, Parasites, Parallel Worlds, and God. So Dancing Past the Graveyard, and that's got a lot of the stories I mentioned tonight in it.
So we're really glad to have had you on. Really fascinating session. We do appreciate the fact that we spend a little time with Ben, and hopefully we can get him back real soon.
Great.
You can find us if you look for The Paracast on Twitter. Once again, that's The Paracast on Twitter. On Facebook, you know, obviously the security is kind of touchy. We have two official Paracast fan clubs. One's a community, one's a group. Paul, do you know the difference?
A community and a group, yes. I think so. Community is far more intimate than a group.
Tell me what the difference is.
Well, I don't know if anyone's ever asked me that before. A group can be a bunch, you know, a group of squirrels or something eating nuts together, but their community is something that implies a certain amount of commonality. It even comes from that word, you know. A group can be just anybody.
As you mentioned earlier, we have a second radio show. It's called After the Paracast, means what it says. It can be a wrap-up show. It can be a continuation of the interview. It can be a totally separate interview. And we've been featuring William Puckett as our special correspondent on After the Paracast. He is a top-notch UFO investigator, an atmospheric scientist, meaning he's a weatherman, worked for the EPA and everything. He knows his stuff, and he always comes on with some recent UFO sightings, some not so recent, such as a case a while back from 2005, in which a woman was apparently injured when in close proximity to a UFO. Really, really fascinating stuff. The only way to get that show, the only way to download that show, is to become a member of the Paracast Plus. To find out more, go to plus, P-L-U-S, dot theparacast.com. We also offer a special version of this show, better quality audio, free of the network ads. So all those ad breaks I mentioned, it'll just go to a bumper and a second of silence. Isn't that spectacular? Our price, $1.49, cheap. Plus.theparacast.com. Paul Eno, thanks for joining us on the Paracast this week.
Thank you so much. It was great to be with you, Gene and Randy.
Featuring Gene Steinberg is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start Program and new laws that may
allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-301-5435. That's 800-301-5435. 800-301-5435.